Perhaps while Gerald was reading that, those of you that are a little bit older may have been thinking back on your childhood. Possibly the 23rd Psalm is one of those psalms that you begin to memorize when you're young. And as we get older, sometimes we have to re-memorize some of those things, don't we? Surely when you read the 23rd Psalm, it fills us with great a feeling of ease, I think. But as you read that, you all may also begin to think about David, the psalmist that wrote that psalm. And that, which this seems like a psalm of great peace and tranquility and trust in the Lord, that if you look back on his life wasn't always that picture, was it? When you read this, and we began this opening verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or as Gerald's version says, "I shall not be in want." Life has all kinds of turns for us, doesn't it? Life sometimes gets in the way of life, doesn't it? This morning I want us to be thinking about prioritizing our spiritual life. This psalm, I believe, is a mindset or a prioritizing of one's spiritual life. It's pretty easy for us to get bogged down in our jobs. It's really easy for us to get bogged down if we're in school, being bogged down with that, and we begin to have to take things and move them out of the way to accomplish the one. I used to say that running a business gets in the way of running a business. Isn't that true, Larry? You have to work so hard to run this business that you may enjoy doing that the monotony of the everyday rules and regulations of doing all that gets in the way of the joy of being an electrician or an IT specialist or a salesman. Life gets in the way of so many things. I can really appreciate David as he writes this psalm. And I love how it's broken down, this idea of "the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The idea that God is leading you in life. It's not life doing that to you. God is doing that. He is the one that's leading your life. Not work, not bills, not debt. We'll go even further because sometimes those things lead us in life, don't they? They make us have to make decisions based on debt or work or things like that. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." How many of you have actually taken this psalm and gone to a quiet place and read it to try to realign your life? You ever done that? It's okay. I have. I've taken it to places where there's not a sound. And I read this psalm and actually being grieved because I realized that my life was not in alignment with what the psalmist is talking about. God wasn't leading me. I was filled with anxiety. I wasn't at peace with God. Thank the Holy Spirit for words like this. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Times in your life when things are not going right, whether it's health, financial, or you're just not being the person that you need to be, these things guide you. The fear of nothing when God is leading your life and when you have peace in God. Isn't that true? "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over." Sometimes life deals us terrible situations, doesn't it? And to have an attitude like this takes a lot of effort sometimes. to have the attitude of my cup runs over. Runs over with what? Blessings in Christ, like Paul would talk about in Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 3. Knowing, having all spiritual understanding. This morning, I want us to focus on prioritizing our spiritual life. One of the ways that we need to prioritize, in just the idea of prioritizing, is to designate something having more value than something else. That's prioritizing. I believe it wasn't very long ago I talked about an illustration that I did one time on a Wednesday night. Had Courtney help me when she was very young about putting things into the sack, and you get towards the end when you're like, oh yeah, I remember God, He's just this little part of your life, and you're trying to get Him in, and I'm like, shove it in there, and begins to tear the sack, and it makes you have to reevaluate everything you do. Like, you have to actually dump the sack out and kind of start over, right? You have to prioritize, designating things more important than other things. I just saw the illustration the other day. It was on Facebook about, I think it was the college professor was sitting in his class. He had a gallon jar, and he poured in, clear to the top, a bag of golf balls. And he asked his class, is that jar full? And they're like, oh yeah, it's full. He goes, is it really? And he reached under his desk, and he took out a little jar of gravel, and he poured a whole jar of gravel in there, and it began to work its way through all the golf balls. And he asked the question, is it full now? And they're like, oh yeah, you know, you can't put anything else in there. And he reaches under his desk, and he pulls out another big jar of sand, and he pours the sand in, right? And he shakes it, and it settles down, and the kids are like, oh, it's absolutely full. You can't get anything else in. And he reaches under his desk, and he pulls out a great big jar of water, and he pours it full. He says, is it full now? And they're like, you know, they're a little bit hesitant, but they're, yeah, it's full. And he's right. You have to get the important things in your vessel first, before you start filling it with all the monotony of life and work and living. So you have to prioritize. And the way that we prioritize, we do that out of, basically, there are reasons that we want to do this. The first reason that we're going to prioritize our spiritual life is for the reason of salvation. Salvation. We have an incredible blessing in Christ Jesus because of salvation, don't we? Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 just for a minute. Verse 2, elect and according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. Isn't that awesome? And, if you keep reading, to an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you by the power of God. Nothing can take that away. Nothing can disturb that. We prioritize God in our life first because of salvation. He's begotten us again to a living hope. We're changed people. We should be changed. I seem to be going to James. One of my teachers at Bear Valley said, all roads lead to James. I don't know why that is, but there's so much in James about Christian living and life, that we have been begotten again to a living hope. Here according to the Apostle Peter, and according to James, we've been begotten by the Word, that we would become a sort of first fruits for Him, for Christ. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and I think even last week. Are you a first fruit for Christ? Are you the best there is to offer? Or are you something else? So we prioritize our spiritual life because of salvation. We want to make sure that the very first thing that we do in the morning is we're praising God. If your life is so hectic that the first thing you do is you jump out of bed and you're you're on the road to work and you never stop to be thankful and to praise God, then you need to prioritize it for the reason of salvation. For the reason of salvation. Also, we prioritize for salvation because of the precious blood of Christ Jesus. If it wasn't for His blood, we couldn't have salvation. We wouldn't have forgiveness of sins. But the reason to prioritize one's spiritual life is for salvation. Remember, we have to designate this as a priority. That means, like we talked about, you may have to take and change something in your life to make your spiritual life a priority. Again, life gets in the way of doing this. That's why we must set this as a priority in our life. It's hard if you haven't been doing it. But there's some place you have to start, and that may require moving some things around. Maybe something that you like to do that's getting in the way. Maybe you need to move that to the end of the list. And if you get to it, okay, well, that's fine. But you took care of the first things first, and that's prioritizing your spiritual life. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." You're doing this in the middle of your life, as something that we see is going on in 1 Peter is, there's a troubling time for the Christians there. He's talking about suffering in a time of maybe government persecution, I believe is the case. He says that if you set the Lord apart first in your heart, these other things are not going to cause you problems. If you're suffering in a relationship, set the Lord first in your heart. If you need to submit to others, you need to do that. But you do that out of submission for Christ. If you set Him apart as Lord first in your hearts, then you're going to make way for Him. You're not going to be burdened down with maybe the Jones next door have got a great big boat that they like to go out on every weekend. You're not going to burden yourself with trying to work harder. You see how that works sometimes? You want something really bad, so you work more and you work overtime. You get up earlier, you go in early to work, and you start pushing things out of the way to fulfill the gratification of the flesh because your neighbors have got this. It may not be a boat. It may be something else. It may be an awesome razor like Gerald has. Or it may be something else that you can't have. Maybe you don't need that. I like Gerald's razor. He's taken me for a ride before. It's a lot of fun. Things in life give us pleasure. But if you set Christ or you set God apart first, then those other things will, you're going to say, hey, I can't do this because it's going to get in the way of my spiritual life. Second reason to prioritize our spiritual life is for the love. For the love that God has for us. God loves us. John 3:16 tells us that, doesn't it? That's the go-to verse in all the world. God loves us. God loves us. He wants us as an inheritance, Ephesians 1:18. What? God wants me as an inheritance of all the things that God has, can have, could have, can create. He wants you as an inheritance. That's mind-blowing, folks. God wants you as an inheritance. Paul would say He wants you to come to this knowledge of this because it's awesome. It's tough for us to go around thinking, I'm unloved, if we have this knowledge that God loves us. He sent Jesus on account of that. And He wants us for an inheritance. That should change our mindset. That should change our priority. The reason we prioritize our spiritual life is for the love that God has for us. He brought us near by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 2:13. Boy, that's awesome. That Christ had to spill His blood. And in that terrible event, Paul says, folks, it's because of that blood that you've been brought near to God. Christ had to die. He had to spill His blood. And because of the blood, you've been brought near to God. Boy, that's special. He's forgiven us our sins, Ephesians 1:7. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians 1:13. You know that's one of my favorite places in Ephesians. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. He set upon us a mark that I think Satan can see. I know God can see it. That we belong to Him. He's given us part of Himself. The reason to prioritize our spiritual life is because of the love of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love, with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." He loved you when you were unlovable. That's pretty humbling, isn't it? But Scripture says, but because He was rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. So we should be prioritizing our spiritual life because of salvation and because of the love with which God loves us. The love. We talk about agape love all the time in the church, don't we? We know this. We know this this Greek definition of this word. That it's not based on it. It's based on you're going to do it. It's not based on the actions. I'm going to love Tink whether he loves me or not. He does. He's always hugging me. I love that. I love all the Greer kids because sometimes they're in a big hurry and they run past me and they're like, whoa, wait a second, forgot to give Troy a hug. And they come back and hug me. I love that. Don't you love that kind of attitude? Isn't the attitude of little children how we should be living? That we walk past each other because something's going on and I'm like, oh man, I need to give Kevin a hug or Joyce or Tammy. Tink, that was a great idea this morning. Go around. Greet those people you love. Because, hey, we get busy. We come here to worship, right? And we get in that zone, right, to worship. And we start forgetting about each other. We talked about that young woman in class this morning. Folks, if that's not a wake-up call to us as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we need to be a people that are curious what's going on in each other's lives. You know, sometimes I hear about something, I'm like, I didn't know that. Sometimes, you know, I'm up here all by myself during the day. You feel like a one-man band sometimes. And someone says, hey, you need to check on so-and-so. Thank you for doing that. So many times we get so busy in life. You're suffering and I'm not. My life's going on. Yours is standing still. And we wonder why people aren't reaching out to us. It's because we forget. It means we're human. But when we know, why, we've got an obligation to reach out to people that are hurting and suffering. If you even think for 1 minute that something is troubling somebody, you got to go up to them. How are you? Fine. That's clue number one right there that something's not right, isn't it? And then if you ask, maybe it's just, you know, something that day. And just because of your honest curiosity, you encouraged and lifted up. You remind people that, hey, really do love me. And remind people that God loves them. That He wants us as an inheritance. I love Ephesians 1:18. That's like a moment in your life when you read that. God wants me. actually leaned over to Joyce this morning. I said, I'm thinking about preaching something else this morning. I had this all, but as class moved along, I was like, oh no, I gotta keep doing what I'm doing because I think it's gonna fit. And then it was like I handed my outline to Tink and said, hey, can you pick some songs out that are gonna come along here and help encourage the lesson and keep encouraging and keep edifying? Things just work out for good sometimes. Kevin mentioned, well, I call it the Joseph mentality, living our life with the Joseph mentality that no matter what happens, God intends it for good. Well, that's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Why is it such a struggle for me my whole life with my weight? That just sometimes absolutely makes me insane why I have to struggle with my weight all the time. I do really good and then I do terrible. I don't like struggling with that. I want to be a lean, mean fighting machine, even though I'm 51 years old. We don't like to be sick. We don't like to have physical infirmities. That's why I think the 23rd Psalm is such an awesome psalm. It gives us reassurance in the times of our life when that I can still have peace with God. I can still rely on God and to allow Him to restore me. That these things aren't going to burden me in heaven. We talked about the rich man Lazarus this morning. That's such an incredible story, isn't it? I think one of the observations that we can see is the rich man could see Lazarus in his awesome condition. Couldn't he? I don't think Lazarus could see him. Otherwise, I think he'd have been troubled by that man's condition. Pay attention to what's going on with people. Not only because of the love that God has, but because of the example that Jesus said in John 14, the new commandment that I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that's how you love one another. Amen. Whoa, wait a second. That means I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to work on my love for somebody. But God died for us when we were still in sin and trespasses. Whew. How am I going to do that? How am I going to work on that? How am I going to prioritize that kind of love in my life? I'm going to work at it, aren't I? I need to read Ephesians chapter 2. That's the kind of love God had for me. Now, thinking in hindsight, as the Apostle John is writing, he could have easily inserted there, well, he loved it sacrificially, he kept us in his word, he did all these things to demonstrate his love for them. Last week, we talked about Matthew 18, the servant with that incredible debt that he had no way to pay back, and the master forgave him, right? And then that guy goes out and finds his brother, his fellow servant, and starts choking the life out of him because he wants him to pay him back. Then the master finds out and says, hey, you're to be thrown into prison until you can pay it back. Well, talk about even a more futile. How do you pay anything back when you're in prison? You can't. That goes back to love each other how I've loved you. I forgave your great debt. Your debt that you had no way to pay back, I forgave you. I'm summarizing, of course. Can't you forgive your brother the little piddly, pitiful little debt that he has against you? So prioritize your spiritual life for the love that God has for you and the love that you're supposed to have for one another. That's a powerful motivation for us in our life. Third reason to prioritize our spiritual life is because of eternal life. If not the biggest, but you see how these are kind of all rolled into one, aren't they? This is eternal life, Jesus would say, in a prayer to God. in the presence of his apostles in John chapter 17, verse 3, he says, "This is eternal life." A definition that we can fit in a nice little box, right? "To know God and Jesus Christ whom you sent." That seemed like that was going to be an easy definition, doesn't it? But then when you start to kind of think about that, and you start to think about everything that Jesus has been saying in John, it begins to become this great big balloon of ideas that Jesus has been teaching his apostles. And I love when he says, "You thought God fed you with the manna from heaven. That was just food. But I'm the true bread. And if you eat of this bread, though he die, he's going to live forever." Whoa, what's he talking about? Or, "I'm the true vine." Or, "Follow me, believe me, love me." What does all that mean in the Gospel of John? It means a whole lot of things. It means being faithful to Jesus, hungering and thirsting for his righteousness. You know, I think it's amazing that Jesus uses all these terms about the physical life, like bread and water. And boy, we need those things. We can't make it if we don't have bread and water, right? That's the basics, the simplest. Jesus says, "I am the true bread." Whoa. The reason he came was to glorify God, verse 4 of chapter 17. He gave them the words, verse 8. Believe in him through the words of those that were going to come. Verse 20 of chapter 17. Chapter 17 fits John's thesis statement of signs and believe and life from John 20, verses 30 and 31. It's John's thesis statement, right? "And Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, but these are written so that you believe in Christ Jesus. He came from God, and that believing you will have life." But what kind of life? Eternal life, according to Jesus in John 17, 3. Salvation, love, and eternal life are reasons to prioritize our spiritual life. As Christian people, we should be the first to recognize that it's God that gave us our salvation. It's God that loved us, and it's God that gives us eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. If there was anybody or anything that should get the priority of our life, our breath, and our existence, it's God Himself. Folks, don't get so wrapped up in life that you can't come to worship, that you can't praise God in the morning when you get up, that you can't pray to Him. A few years ago, we went home and we were with some of the family, and hey, when it was time to eat, it was time to pray. And it kind of caught some people off guard. Said, "Oh, we're not in the habit of praying." And I thought to myself, why not? Everything that we have that's good in this world comes from God, right? It rains on the just and the unjust. Those are true blessings from God that God gives to mankind. Why should the wicked get the wonderful, refreshing rain? Because God is good. Why should the wicked get to see God's creation and say, "That's evolution"? Just the other day, did I say this last week? I got to see a picture of my eye at a doctor's visit. I had an optometry visit. Took a picture of my eye, and I'd never seen that before. I guess I'm just old. Hadn't been to the eye doctor in about 5 years. And Dr. Treat put that picture up there, and I was like, "Is that my eye?" He said, yeah. And I'm like, that is amazing. He said, you know that each eye is like your fingerprint, that no eye is the same. And he goes, doesn't that just blow evolution out of the water? I'm like, I mean, have you ever got to see that awesome color picture, your eyeball? It's like looking at someone's conception of another galaxy. It's amazing. Why do the wicked get to enjoy something like that? Because God is good. God should be getting the lion's share of our life, folks. We should be spending more and more time together as believers. Last week we talked about, remember when Paul was converted and he was trying to join himself to the brethren? And they're like, no way! Christians are social people. We should be seeking the attention of other Christians, encouraging and edifying one another. Great songs this morning. Ephesians 5, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Yeah, we're singing to God, but guess what else Paul says we're doing? We're encouraging one another together. God should get the lion's share of our life. But you have to make it a priority. You know what? Sometimes you have to start in little places. Maybe you've got yourself in debt or a financial situation, or you're burdened at work. You have to work hard about changing that situation. You ever faced the opportunity to go somewhere new because of a job? You thought that this was going to be the best job I've ever had in my life. I think that I was thinking that once. I'd been laid off for about 6 months. Our first daughter, Tiffany, was just not even a year old, had an opportunity to go to Life Fitness, the company that makes treadmills and steppers. I'm like, what better job for a fat guy than that? Get to go there. I thought it was going to be great. We get there and we're like, where's the church at? And it was a bunch of people meeting in a community center, and the preacher wanted to show us this guest book one time. There's all these people. Love to worship with you if you had a building. Love to worship if you had a building. On and on and on. The church was really weak there. But I thought it was going to be a great opportunity. It turned out we were pretty miserable there. We went back to Perry, Oklahoma. We need to base decisions on God first. In work, in school, you need to make decisions based on the fact that you're going to be able to glorify God in that situation. Sometimes it's going to be hard. One of the elders said at Bear Valley that, you know, don't be afraid to take a position in a church or in a town that has small numbers. Maybe you're being sent there to grow the church. Or if you're strong enough, you're sent someplace there's not the Lord's church. I mean, at one time, there was no church here in Worland, Wyoming, right? And because of some faithful Christian people, and Gerald gave me last year, I think, that something that Tim wrote, that history of the church here, and it reads just like the history of the church in Perry, Oklahoma, where Brent and I grew up. That there were some faithful Christian people that wanted to establish a church there, and they did it. But that takes priority in your life. You're there to work and make a living and raise your family, but there's a priority, and that's to give God your all. You're not here in this town because of your job. You're here because of your faith in Christ Jesus. To glorify God, that's what Jesus said I did. I glorified God. I did His will. Brenda said it this morning. It was from 2 Peter. That God is not slack concerning His promise. And doesn't want anyone to not come to salvation. That's the God we serve. That's the God that should be getting priority in your life. priority in salvation and love and eternal life. That's the God that we serve that gives us and gave us those three things. You can serve God with your whole life. Maybe your job or school does take up tremendous amounts of your time. Okay, opportunity. How are you going to glorify God in that situation? If you can't glorify God in that situation, if you can't talk about the Lord, if you can't do those things, then you need to set a priority. If that's a job you can't do that in, then maybe you need to figure out a way to do that. Maybe that means a new job or a new school or something like that. If you've got yourself in a situation where you can't give God your entire life, then you need to make Him your priority. That means you got to make some changes. Maybe that's something as simple as this morning, coming down here and confessing that, making that known. And you know what? Some other people are going to be saying, I've got that same thing in my life right now. You're not alone, folks. We're not alone. If you can make a confession like that in front of the people that love you the most, then they're going to help you. They're going to encourage you. But you need to be able to trust this body. Maybe that's something you need to work on. Maybe you don't trust the people that you should be trusting with your life and your thoughts. Then maybe you need to work on that. Maybe that's something that we need to pray about this morning. If God's not a priority in your life, you can make that change today. And I want to encourage you to make that change. Recently, I told you, my prayer life is something that's very important to me. I want to give God thanks all the time. But you know, I caught myself the other day. I was in a hurry at lunch and I was praying and I was like, I stopped myself. I'm like, I'm just going through the motions of praying. Boy, it really seared my conscience. I had to stop and really thank God and take time. You know, sometimes I think, wouldn't it have been great to be in that time in the Bible where, you know, you didn't have these things on our wrists, that time is just clicking along, isn't it? Isn't it? Right? We live by that clock, don't we? Got to get up, got to go to school, got to go to work. Lunch is at 12 or 11:30. It never stops ticking, does it? Sometimes I hate that. Sometimes I just want to praise God and not hear that ticking. I think one day we're going to get to do that. Time is going to have no bearing on us when we get to heaven. And I know you've heard all the analogies that have been told about eternity and how long it is. All I know is I want to be there with God. I want to see His face and His Son Jesus in all His spiritual glory, that every writer who has written about God and that glory, trying to fit it into some kind of physical manifestation, that when I'm in the Spirit, I'm going to get to see God. Reminds me, the past few days, there's been a couple videos on Facebook of some people that saw color for the first time. Have you seen those? People that are colorblind, and they put those glasses on, and the first thing, they're lit up, and then they're overcome with joy. It makes them cry. It's hard to watch it and to think of something that we've been missing our whole lives. We're living in a hope of eternal life. Peter says, fix your hope on that. Fix your hope. Set your mind on heaven, because that's where Christ is with God. That means setting priorities. Someday, we're going to see the Father and the Son and the Spirit in all their glory and know man-made glasses, no pen of a poet is going to be able to describe the glory that we see one day. If you can't set a priority in your life to fix your spiritual life, then if that doesn't do it, then I don't know what's going to do it. We have an opportunity this morning to make things right with God. If you need to do that this morning, I encourage you to do so as we come and sing together.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it.